Hallelujah. How's everybody today? Blessed and highly flavored. I love it. James, where you be, man? Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Give me a pen, Liz. Thank you. My buddy James, praise God, a man of battle. You can hold this. A man of endurance, a man who's after God's heart. Hallelujah. And Lord, we just bless him. We bless him. And we ask, Father, that you'll continue to engulf him with your presence, continue to bring freedom to his mind, his heart, and his will, that it follows you all the days of his life, that you'll open the doors that are of you in his life and shut the doors that are not, that you'll give him the wisdom and knowledge and understanding and the thirst and hunger to chase after you as you have already gone. Lord, that you'll keep him healthy and strong, that you'll give him the eyes to see all the way through, the ears to hear one voice, and a heart to obey. Lord, we bless James today, and we give you all the glory and honor and praise for this new life, a trophy for your glory, and an honor to all man. In Jesus' name. Amen. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You want to say anything, James?
Well, I came here to get set free. I'm little did I know I was coming to see the greatest position that ever lived, huh? Jesus Christ. All right. I'm thank you, Lord, and I bless you, Father, and I bless your holy name. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Hallelujah.
God bless you.
Yeah, glory to God. You lost another one, devil. God is good all the time, isn't he? Hallelujah! Woo! And the battles continue, don't they? You know, as we were praying, I saw a javelin that was thrown at us. And the Lord said, don't be dismayed that you are targeted. He said, you're targeted. But hallelujah, we have the victory. Amen. We have the victory. Everybody that's here, I want you to know that you're becoming armed and dangerous. And because of that, you're targeted. But so many times, we're trying to relieve the targeting from us by doing carnal things instead of things of the Spirit. It doesn't remove the targeting. It just increases more. You know, there's something that we've got to constantly maintain and learn, and is that when things begin to happen, we don't go in the flesh, we go in the Spirit. We have a tendency to try to fix things ourselves, and we can't. Sometimes you can't get an answer right away until you finally surrender. So many times we want the answer now, and you're not going to get it now, I guarantee it, because you can't get the things of the Spirit while you're in the flesh. I don't know what God wants. Yeah, he's not going to tell you until you choose to get into the Spirit to receive what he's got for you. And in this, there's that place where God wants us to be, because sometimes our trials and tribulation cause us to seek him. What's he trying to do? He's trying to make a way of escape for us. But the enemy wants to keep you in the flesh, because he knows if he can keep you in the flesh, he's got you. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 13, would you read it with me? Is everybody there? Matthew 16, verse 13. It says, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? In other words, what's your personal relationship with me? Okay, so you go to church, you go to Bible studies and so forth. You're hearing what everyone's saying, but who do you say that I am? And this is where we're tested by God. We're tested by trials and tribulations. We're tested in who we're trusting in. We're getting tested. God wants everyone to be a man or woman after his heart. I would never marry someone that's not a woman after God's heart. I wouldn't marry a... Of course, I'm not going to marry a man. I suggest you women don't marry a man that's not after God's heart. If that person's willing to leave the plan of God for you, I wouldn't marry him. Hello? This is reality. Don't marry somebody because they have good potential. My wife did that the first time with me. And we ended up divorced. Hallelujah. Is everybody okay? In verse 15. And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you." The things that a natural realm didn't reveal this to you. No, there's no man told you. You didn't go to a Bible study and get this. This came directly from me, from my Father. He said, "But my Father who is in heaven has brought this to you. And also I say to you that you are Peter, and on the rock, on this revelation, that I am the Christ, that I am the foundation, and that I am the anointed one with his anointing, that the church will be established by the anointing of God Almighty, eternal presence, power, and truth, not by some religious act or ritual. I will build my church on that revelation, not by a name." Hello. The church won't be built. Look at, when someone builds something, they have laborers to build it, don't they? But there's still got to be a substance to be built with. So the church is not built by the laborers without the true substance. And the substance is the anointing of God. That is everything. And without his anointing, you and I are nothing. I don't care if you can memorize the scriptures and the page numbers. Without the eternal presence, power, and truth of God Almighty, you and I are nothing. We become nothing but religious then, knowing the scriptures and not able to follow them and obey them. Willing to tell everybody else about their faults when you can't even correct your own. Hello? The anointing. In verse 19, here's the kicker. Or verse 18. "And I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the what? Gates of hell shall not prevail against you." In other words, nothing can come against the anointing. It may come against the anointing, but cannot have victory. So the enemy's always going to come against you to try to get you out of the spirit into the flesh so he can attack you. But while you're in the anointing, you can't be touched. That's why he says those who are in the spirit walk and live in the spirit, not in the flesh. See, there's a difference between a carnal Christian and a spirit-filled Christian. A spirit-filled Christian worships God. He doesn't care about fame, name, position. Doesn't care about any of those things. Just cares about God's presence. Because that person knows that without his presence, we're nothing. I cannot survive without the presence of God. That's my life. And it should be every Christian's life. You can't function correctly in what God's called you to do. You'll do it in the carnal way. You can go to school and learn things and teach those things you've learned, but without being backed by the anointing, hello, what good is it? You'll struggle. You'll have your ups and downs. And you'll try to fix your own fixing all the time instead of surrendering it. Surrender. Here it is. Are you ready? In verse 19. He says, "And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." The keys of the kingdom of heaven. I'm giving you something when you are in the spirit. Something that is going to bind or lock. And something that is going to unlock. But there's something very important here. He says, "And whatever you bind on earth," in other words, what you do in the physical realm, "will be bound in the spiritual realm." Because see, we know that our attack is from the spirit realm, right? It's trying to get us into the flesh all the time. So what we must do is we must bind the things. We must speak the things in this realm first. We attack the things of this realm, even though it's a spirit realm. But how do you do that? By what you speak in here penetrates to the spirit realm. So whatever you bind in the natural realm was bound in the spirit realm. Does everybody got it? So the keys of the kingdom of heaven are first attached to the arena of what you do here right now. What you speak. As you bind the spirits, you speak them here. It is the physical realm first, then it goes and penetrates into the spiritual realm. Is everybody with me? Now, in Matthew 22, that's why what you speak is what you eat, and what you eat is what you become. Matthew 22. Is everybody there? In verse 11, it says, "But when the king came into the wedding and see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. So he said to him, 'Friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, 'Bind him hand and foot, take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.'" Called means invited. Many are invited, but few are chosen. And there's that process where you get invited to become chosen. Does everybody got it? So many people are still are in an invited state. They haven't given up the world. They haven't given up their life to be chosen. So they're constantly being invited. See, they're being invited to get a new life. And so many times people are just not willing to do that yet. They still have one foot in the world and one foot trying to follow the Lord. And, of course, you can't do both. Many will wear garments and access the spirit realm, but they won't have the true garments on of Christ. And they will be cast away into outer darkness. See, there are many who are trying to access the spirit realm, and they do. But there's only one true eternal realm. Has everybody got it? There is the spirit realm, but there's one true eternal realm, which is everlasting, forever and ever and ever. But there's other realms where there are spirits, there's demonic forces, darkness in heavenly places, all kinds of principalities, wickedness. Those are spiritual realms, but there's one only eternal realm. Has everybody got it? And many people will try to enter into the spiritual realms and even try to access the eternal realm, but they can't. But they can actually access the spirit realms to try and bypass, because there's so many false religions. There's so many false things that are going on. In Leviticus 19, would you read it with me? Verse 26. Leviticus 19, verse 26, it says, "You shall not eat anything with blood, nor shall you practice divination or soothsaying." In other words, that's the area where an individual seeks the spirit realm through any other way but through Christ or through the ways of God. He says, "You shall not eat anything with blood." In other words, that's why when animals are caught, what happens? And when they're caught or killed, the blood is drained, isn't it? Amen? But look at what the rituals are today. Satanic rituals and so forth. They drink blood. Amen? They sacrifice humans and animals. In verse 31, it says, "Give no regards to mediums and familiar spirits. Do not seek after them to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God." In other words, don't read your horoscope because you don't have one. Don't do Ouija boarding. Don't read tarot cards. Don't read the fortune cookie and the cookies. You can eat the cookie. Don't read the thing. Hello? In other words, your future is already established and predestined. You don't need to know what it is. You need to follow him so it can be manifested. It says that you've been given a good life. This is your future. It's right here. And to know him and walk in the spirit, then you're living from the future, not from the past. So we're not to seek these things. Don't seek the heavenly kingdom by ways of the world. It brings a curse, which opens the door to demonic spirits in people's lives. In Genesis chapter 3, in verse 7. Now, after Adam and Eve's fall, Genesis 3:7, it says, "The eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings." So they used what was in the garden. They took some fig leaves and made their coverings. It was with plants. And in verse 21, so the Lord was removing them from the garden. And also for Adam and his wife, the Lord made tunics of skin. In other words, the Lord sacrificed an animal. He killed an animal. He showed them a way to have access to him. Has everybody got it? Blood for blood. Now, I'm not going to get in depth in this because I don't really believe Adam and Eve had blood until they fell. They were eternal beings. This is why the serpent caused them to fall, and we're going to get into this Tuesday. So don't miss it. It's going to blow your mind. I've never preached this before in my life, what I'm going to preach Tuesday. And so Adam and Eve and his wife, the Lord had to make tunics of skin. So he had to kill an animal to clothe them. He was reestablishing covenant with them, even though that they were going to die. Covered themselves with fig leaves, things of creation. God used an animal of life with the blood to cover Adam and Eve with the skins, to atone, to cover their transgressions, their acts of disobedience through blood. Amen? In Exodus 29, see, because now Adam and Eve were no longer glorified. They were in the flesh. Amen? They were now in the flesh. They had blood in their bodies. Exodus 29, and verse 38. Is everybody there? Exodus 29, verse 38. Let's speak it together. Now this is what you shall offer on the altar, two lambs of the first year, day by day, continually. One lamb you shall offer in the morning, and another lamb you shall offer at twilight. With the one lamb shall be one-tenth of an ephah of flour mixed with one-fourth of a hin of pressed oil, one-fourth of a hin of wine, and as a drink offering. And the other lamb you shall offer at twilight, and you shall offer with a grain offering and the drink offering as in the morning for the sweet aroma as an offering made by fire to the Lord. This shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generation at the door of the tabernacle of meeting before the Lord, where I will meet you to speak with you. And there I will meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory. And I will consecrate the tabernacle of meeting and the altar. And I will also consecrate both Aaron and his sons to minister to me as priests. I will dwell among the children of Israel, and I will be their God. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God, who brought them up out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. The word Egypt here means the land of bondage. Now, there's something very powerful that used to happen when they were used to, at once a year, they used to sacrifice for the sins of Israel. And they had two lambs, or sometimes a goats. In fact, the lamb was a representation of the wheat, and the goat was a representation of the weed, or rebellious. But anyways, what they used to do is they used to tie a red ribbon at the altar, at the tabernacle. And on the one, they would take and they would lay their hands, the priest would lay their hands on the goat and impart all the sins of the land. That's where you got the word scapegoat. It's actually biblical. So they'd lay their hands on that goat, and then they would send that goat out and it'd go off a cliff or something and die. And when it died, the red ribbon would turn white as God accepted that sacrifice. And then they would sacrifice the lamb unto the Lord. So they would have two of them. One would be a scapegoat. And in here we see that there was always a sacrifice for atonement, covering of sin. But it was always an animal, not a human. Amen? And that's something that must be important. And in Leviticus 17, would you go there for a minute? Hallelujah. Leviticus 17. In verse 10. Is everybody there? And whatever man of the house of Israel or of the strangers who dwell among you who eats any blood, I will set my face against that person who eats blood. Hello. In other words, eats blood, drinks blood. Amen? I'll set my face against that person, and I will cut him from among his people. Verse 11, would you read it with me? For the life of the flesh is in the blood. Say it again. The life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. Therefore I said to the children of Israel, no one among you shall eat blood. Nor shall any stranger who dwells among you eat blood. whatever man of the children of Israel or of the strangers who dwell among you, who hunts and catches any animal or bird that may be eaten, he shall pour out its blood and cover it with dust. For it is the life of all flesh. Its blood sustains its life. Therefore, I said to the children of Israel, you shall not eat the blood of any flesh, for the life of the flesh is its blood. Whoever eats it shall be what? Shall be cut off. And every person who eats what died naturally or what was torn by any beast, whether he is a native of your country, your own country, or a stranger, he shall both wash his clothes and bathe in water, and he shall be unclean until evening. Then he shall be clean. Now, this is very powerful because, again, everyone say, the life of the flesh is in the blood. The life of the flesh is in the blood. So when you go to a doctor, one of the things he begins to look at is when they take a blood test, they want to see what's in your blood. So there are many things that are inherited through the blood. He'll ask you questions. Is there diabetes? Is there addiction? Whatever it may be. Is there heart disease? All of these things are in the blood because you are what you've inherited physically. But I want you to grab something here because they're actually making a sacrifice for atonement in the natural realm because everything begins in the natural realm for us now. Amen? In other words, you sin in the natural realm, not in the spirit realm, right? But there's a spiritual effect, isn't there? It's associated with the soul, the tormenting of the soul. The word says, what good is it to gain all the things of the world and lose your soul? Amen? So in this, we've got to understand that in the sacrifice of the blood, in this blood sacrifice, even though it's a physical sacrifice, it has a spiritual meaning. Amen? Why? Because God created blood for man from Adam down. But it became contaminated. It became cursed. Things began to happen as intermarriages, as perversion. Things began to contaminate the blood. You know, the Bible says, tells us that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And because you've rejected my knowledge or my truth, I will reject you for being a priest, and I will reject your children. Why? Because a curse comes down the family line. And in this, many of us have been more or less like rejected. Why didn't God rescue us right away? Because there was a process that we had to go through to be rescued. Amen? You know, when you repent now for your sins because it's a spiritual thing, you are washed by the blood of Christ. The baptism of water is actually symbolic to the washing of the blood of Jesus now. Amen? So that's cooperating with grace, isn't it? By repentance. So again, if the life of the flesh is in the blood, then atonement for the soul is a spiritual area where we are cleansed. Everybody, when they repent, becomes a virgin. We are cleansed. Amen? So it's the atonement for the soul. The atonement is not for the flesh. Has everybody got it? The atonement is for the soul, not the flesh. Your flesh is to be crucified by you following this, by being filled with the Spirit and following the Lord. You can't do nothing with your flesh. Hello? Your flesh is of the world. You can't cast out flesh. It'd be nice to. The only thing you can do is crucify it. And it's crucified as you follow the Lord, as you follow the Spirit. That's when it's crucified. No matter what you do, you can yell at it, scream at it, beat it. It's amazing how many things. I mean, I see all kinds of stuff going. There's so many religions. They beat themselves, you know, beat their heads and bleed all over the place and think that it's something for God. When actually they're opening their door to demonic activity. In Genesis 4, the soul is the spiritual part of the man. That's what the atonement is for. Genesis chapter 4. The life of the flesh, that's the name of today's teaching. In case you might wonder what it is. The life of the flesh. There's something about flesh, though, especially when you cook a steak, you know? That sweet aroma. I think that's what God likes about us. Look at, he's cooking. Yeah. That's my kid. He's burning the flesh. You know, it's our responsibility to mortify the flesh, you know? Here, I can smell Guy today. Where is he? Hallelujah. There he, oh, he's on the tennis court. Okay. There he goes. Hallelujah. in Genesis 4, chapter verse 8. Now Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. And the Lord said to Cain, "Where is Abel, your brother?" Like he didn't know. And he said, "I do not know." He lied. "Am I my brother's keeper?" And he said, "What have you done?" Like he didn't know. He wanted some confession, didn't he? This is powerful. He said, "The voice of your brother's blood, the voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground." What was he crying? Vengeance. Now, this is so powerful. Abel's blood was crying out for vengeance to the Lord from the ground or from the other realm. I want you to understand the effect of blood in the other realm. Amen? Go to Exodus 12. Because if the life of the flesh is in the blood, then the blood speaks. Hello? The blood speaks. In Exodus 12 and verse 5, says, "Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight." This is the Passover. "And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two door posts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat." So they're going to kill this lamb at twilight. And they're going to take the blood of this lamb and put it on the lintels of the door, because blood speaks, right? And it says then in verse 8, "Then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire with unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat it raw nor boiled at all with water, but roasted in fire, its head with its legs and its entrails. And you shall let none of it remain until morning, and what remains of it until morning you shall burn with fire. And thus you shall eat it with a belt on your waist and your sandals on your feet and your staff in your hand. So you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both men and beasts, and against all the gods," say all the gods, "of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord." Now, people think, oh, these must be statues. No, these were demonic forces. These were principalities, spirits of Nephilim, fallen angels. He was going to bring judgment on them all. These were known as the gods. Has everybody got it? They weren't statues. The statue is not a god. It's the spirit that's attached to it. Amen? Because statues can't speak, drink coffee, or anything else. Hello, verse 13. "Now the blood shall be" what? "A sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt." Does everybody see that? So it was a lamb or a goat, which they were going to take that blood at twilight. In fact, that's why Jesus, when he died, it became dark. Even though he died around 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, it became dark because it was a lunar eclipse, because it was a fulfillment of a feast also. But we're not going to get into all that. So we see here that God acknowledges the blood, doesn't he? So there's some, again, there is a spiritual connection between blood and the spirit realm, isn't there? In 1 Kings chapter 18, the life of the flesh. 1 Kings 18 and verse 19. "Now therefore, send and gather all Israel to me on Mount Carmel, the 450 prophets of Baal and the 450 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table." So these were all prophets of Satan's kingdom. Has everybody got it? Every one of them served these false gods, which were fallen angels, Nephilim spirits, demons. Is everybody okay? And so we're seeing Elijah says, look at, bring them on. Now, there are many sacrifices at Mount Carmel. In fact, it said that that's where many of the angels had come also. when they came down. So Ahab sent for all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together at Mount Carmel. And Elijah came to all the people and said, "How long will you flatter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him." But the people answered him no word. Then Elijah said to the people, "I alone am left a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450. Therefore, let them give us two bulls and let them choose one bull for themselves. Cut in pieces and lay it on the wood, but put no fire under it. And I will prepare the other bull and I will lay it on the wood, but put no fire under it. Then you will call on the name of your gods and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God who answers by fire, he's God." So all the people answered and said, "It is well spoken." Man, I'd like to do that right out here. Verse 25. Now Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, "Choose one bull for yourselves and prepare it first, for you are many. And call on the name of your God, but put no fire in it." So they took the bull, which was given to them, and they prepared it, and called on the name of Baal from morning, evening till noon, saying, "O Baal, hear us." But there was no voice, no answer. Then they leaped about the altar, which they had made. They were dancing on the altar. And so it was at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, "Cry louder, for he is a god. Either he is meditating, or he is busy, or he is on a journey, or perhaps he's sleeping and must be awakened." So they cried aloud and what? Cut themselves. They cut themselves and was with their custom with knives and lances until blood gushed out of them. See, that what they were trying to do is get an open door by letting human blood drip from them. See, they were offering up their blood. They were trying to get a cheat way to the spirit realm. Does everybody understand this? Because blood speaks. But they were trying to invoke an area of the demonic realm to move on their behalf. But God wouldn't allow it. He said, "Nah, you ain't doing this today. I let it go so far, but we're going to show who's God." Is everybody okay? In verse 29, "Then when midday was past, they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, but there was no voice, no answer, and no one paid attention. Then Elijah said to all the people, 'Come near me.' So all the people came near him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, 'Israel shall be your name.' Then with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench around the altar large enough to hold two sheaves of seed. And he put the wood in order, cut the bulls in pieces, and laid it on the wood, and said, 'Fill four water pots with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood.' And he said, 'Do it a second time.' And they did it a second time. Then he said, 'Do it a third time.' So the water ran all around the altar, and he also filled the trench with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, 'Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and I am your servant, that I have done all these things at your word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God and that you have turned their hearts back to you again.' Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, 'Lord, he is God, the Lord, he is God.' And Elijah said to them, 'Seize the prophets of Baal. Do not let one of them escape.' So they seized them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook of Kindron and executed every single one of them." That was a lot of work. See, they tried to access. How many people know cutters? Don't raise your hand. Some of us were cutters ourselves. People cut the sides, their feet, their hands, their arms, their wrists, they're cutters. They have cutting parties. What they're actually doing is offering themselves to demonic open doors and don't even realize it. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Cutting and lancing to get an open door to the spiritual realm by human blood. Now think about that. These things open doors. They open ports. Why do you think there's wars? Who's the ruler of this earth? Satan. He establishes wars to keep open doors. What do you think about the Holocaust? How many think are open doors over the Holocaust in that area in Germany? These are open doors at demonic arenas where they have free flow. How about 9/11? Hello. Now that they have a mosque there and they built a tower that is so demonic, it's incredible. The World Trade Center, because they have sacrificed there. They couldn't rebuild until it was sacrificed with blood, human blood. What about abortions all over the world? See, there's a constant sacrifice of demonic activity every day of human blood offered up every single day. Cutters, abortions, everything's going up. That's why there's so much demonic activity now in this world. The battles are getting harder, aren't they? The new age of darkness has stepped forward. There's no return now. We're coming to a close. The life of the flesh. But the life of the flesh in that arena, the demonic demonic is associated with lust, isn't it? And perversion, sacrificing of children. So they try to take lives for power and fame. Look at how many individuals. People don't realize. Let me share something with you. Well, I'll go there in a second. But we accept the sacrifice of Christ for the forgiveness of the works of our flesh. Amen? For the works of our flesh, we have accepted his sacrifice so that our soul can be atoned, reestablished, renewed. In John 6, would you go there? John chapter 6, in verse 48. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which came down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my life, which I gave for the life of this world. The Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Because they were thinking demonically. They knew about the rituals and the offerings because they had Baal and everyone else around. They seen all these sacrifices. People were being abducted and crucified and so forth, offered up to Baal. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Now, of course, we know this freaked out some of the disciples, and some of them chose not to follow him anymore because they thought, hey, we got in a cult here. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. My flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As a living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. And this is the bread which came down from heaven, that as your father ate the manna and are dead, he who eats this bread will live forever. Of course, we know that his blood is associated with his spirit, drinking of his spirit. And his flesh is associated with eating of his word. Amen? So we drink of his blood or his spirit, not human blood, hello, not animals. We eat the word. Satan's kingdom drinks human blood, though. They drink the blood of animals as a ritual. And they sacrifice humans and animals to maintain their place in the physical realm. Has everybody got it? They maintain their place in the physical realm. Remember, because the blood is associated with a spiritual connection, isn't it? It opens doors. We're going to talk more about this and get in depth later. Higher positions and royalties that take place in this realm take place as more sacrifices. There are individuals that have sold their souls out for fame and fortune, and they will become a sacrifice. Do you understand that? It's called blood money. It's called blood money. Did you ever hear the word blood money? I think everybody has. It's because they sold their soul out, and you know what's going to happen? They will be sacrificed. In fact, one of their major sacrifices that they do in killing is on the 25th of a month. It can be a designated month. I can't tell you how many celebrities were killed or died on the 25th of a month. Michael Jackson, James Brown, Lisa Lopez, Exodus Tyson, Aretha Kitt, Dean Martin. Many, hundreds, thousands, because they sold their souls out for fame and fortune, and they would become the sacrifice. Does everybody get this? Jimi Hendrix, all of them that sold their souls out. many of them were a day or two after or before the 25th. But these here were specific, and there's many more that were on the 25th. Because it's a specific meaning and a mockery that we celebrate the birth. I'm not saying Jesus was born on the 25th, but we celebrate the birth on the 25th. But I'll tell you who was born on the 25th was Nimrod. Hello. In John 10:9. So they sacrifice and drink to maintain their position in the physical or in the flesh in the physical realm. Look at this. What does Jesus say in verse 9? I am the what? I am the door. I am the what? The door. Between what? Two realms. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. I didn't say pastor. I said pasture. Amen. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it abundantly. In John 16, Jesus says, I am the what? Way, the truth, and the life. Why? Because of his sacrifice. Through the sacrifice of the blood of Jesus, God, we accept that sacrifice, and now we have access to the eternal realm because of the what? The blood. See, God had to manufacture his own blood, something pure, untainted, unpolluted, no sin in his blood. So he had to manufacture his own blood. And by manufacturing his own blood, you and I have access to the eternal realm, not just to the... Does everybody got this? See, Satan doesn't have access to the eternal realm. None of them do. They have access to the spiritual realm, but not the eternal realm. It's different. You and I have eternal realm access. They have demonic realm access. Is everybody okay? Through the blood. In Matthew 27, would you go there for a minute? Because life of the flesh is in the what? Blood. So you will see and hear of more and more deaths, human deaths, and sacrifices. That's why there's wars. That's why there was a world war, World War I, World War II, and there will be a World War III. And a third of mankind will be killed, and it will be considered a sacrifice. That's why all hell will break out on earth. So for them to maintain their place in the physical realm, there must be sacrifices and ritual of drinking blood, human or animal. But human sacrifices are the highest. See, so that's why they organize things. The secret societies that are satanic worshipers, they organize things to create offerings. You know, they're called the enlightened ones. They believe that they're enlightened of God. They have their own agendas. So they rule the oil. They rule the energy. They rule all the sources that maintain, because there is technology where you don't need any of that. In fact, there's technology where you don't even need to fly from one place to another. But they won't release any of that because they want to keep it flowing. They want to keep the sacrifices flowing until they believe they can overcome and beat God, their creator. Is everybody okay? In Matthew 27, is everybody there? Woohoo! In verse 50, it says, and Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit when he was on the cross. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Why? Because of the sacrifice of his blood. Amen? So we have access to the eternal realm and fellowship with God the Father, the Son, through the Holy Spirit. And the veil was torn in two, top to bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks were split, and the graves were opened. And many of the bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep came up. And then after Jesus rose from the dead after 3 days and coming out of the graves, after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. See, his blood brought life. Everybody got it. So here were the saints that accepted Jesus Christ during his ministry that were buried. They died. When Jesus died on the cross, 3 days later he rose from the dead. Those saints rose with him. They were part of the first fruits. And they went into the cities and witnessed the people. Hey, man, let me tell you what's going on. Man, they were witnesses. Man, I thought you died 2 years ago. What happened? You've been dead in that grave 2 years now. Yeah, let me tell you about Jesus. I'm telling you, revival broke out. Hallelujah. So everybody got it. So it brought salvation to me and you, didn't it? To the blood. The manufactured blood by God Almighty, not by blood of a sacrifice of an animal, not by the blood of a human, but the blood of God Almighty, pure, eternal blood to access an eternal realm, everlasting. Then there's something else he did too, in Isaiah 53. So where's disease? It's in the blood. So you'll hear of more and more sacrifices and deaths of war because the ruler of this world is Satan. There'll be more bloodshed. There's bloodshed of many saints and martyrs right now that are being executed, tortured, because for the witness of Christ globally. In Isaiah 53, in verse 4, it says, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted." Verse 5, "And he was wounded for our transgressions," that's our acts of sin. "He was bruised for our iniquities," our inherited curses. "The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." By his stripes, we are, why? Because each whipping shed blood. So even the blood that he carried speaks healing for me and you. So everybody got it? It speaks healing for our blood. See, when we come to Christ and we repent, we begin to break off the curses that have been handed down our family line. We're actually removing that stuff and we're replacing our inheriting curse blood with the blood of Christ. So everybody got it? Now I accept the blood sacrifice of God. I accept the pure blood of God Almighty in my life. So I apply the blood of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus. I acknowledge the blood, the pure blood, that not only heals me, but allows me access to the eternal realm, that I may have fellowship with my eternal Creator and Father. See, every one of us who has accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, repented for their sins, is washed by the blood of God. The blood. That's why there's so much power in the blood. That's why the demonic forces hate the blood of Christ. When you speak the blood, they shake. You speak the name of Jesus because the name of Jesus represents the blood, the price of the blood. In fact, that's one of our weapons. His name, his word, and his blood. It's amazing how many people don't even use it. They get up every day and say a little Our Father and go to work. Never applying the blood, never utilizing the weapons, never binding or loosing, never nothing. No first striking. They wonder why everything goes astray. I didn't say you wouldn't have a battle. Even when you're doing the right thing, you'll be targeted. But we always have the victory. Amen? Psalm 16. Hallelujah! Hallelujah. No man gets to the Father without the Son. That's because he's got to go through the blood of the Lamb. And it don't matter who they sacrifice, what they kill, what they drink, they ain't getting to my dad. Not without repentance. Repentance is what activates the blood. Repentance, that's why we repent every day. That's why we apply the blood. You can't apply the blood of Jesus if you haven't repented. Oh, Lord, I apply the blood of Jesus on myself. How about repentance, homie? Hallelujah. Psalm 16, let's speak it together. "Preserve me, O God, for in you I put my trust. My soul, you have said to the Lord, you are my God. My goodness is nothing apart from you. As for the saints who are on the earth, they are the excellent ones in whom all is my delight. Their sorrow shall be multiplied who hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood I will not." Aha. See, they're trying to do drink offerings of blood, aren't they? "Nor take up their names on my lips." So he said, I ain't associating with that. "O Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope, for you shall not leave my soul in Sheol or hell, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are" what? "Pleasures forevermore." Wow. See, we have a covenant with God Almighty through the blood. a covenant of promises. But so many people don't even know what the covenant is. They don't even know their promises. Many people don't even read their Bible. This is where the covenant is. But I'm telling you who always reminds you of the covenant, the Spirit. So if you're not filled with the Spirit, you won't be reminded of the covenant. Well, I was Spirit-filled. What are you now? Are you today? I'm telling you, you'll always be reminded of a covenant. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and all is within me, and forget not his benefits. Forget not his benefits. What does he do? Who forgives my iniquities? Who heals my diseases? Why? Because that's part of covenant. Who crowns me with loving kindness and tender mercies? Who favors me? Who rescues me from a life of destruction? Amen? Who puts new songs in my mouth that I might praise him? And who puts the devil under my feet so I can dance on him? Covenant. 1 Peter chapter 5. The life of the flesh is in the blood. So your victory, now listen, your victory over your flesh is to be led by the Spirit. But without repentance, the blood is not activated. Has everybody got it? There are people who haven't repented for a long time. I ain't sinned. Well, you're an idiot. You sin every single day. Everybody sins. Amen? Everybody. I didn't steal nothing. What'd you think today? Why don't you take a moment and write all you down, all that stuff down you thought. What about what you said today? Hello? What about the vows that you said that you were going to do and didn't do? How many commitments have you made and never fulfilled? Well, God knows my heart. Yes, he does. The problem is we don't always know our heart. This is where we repent. See, if there's true relationship, the Holy Spirit's always going, hey, didn't you say you were going to meet somebody at 4 o'clock today? Yeah, I forgot. Hello? Well, what are you going to do about it? I'll call and make arrangements. No, you're going to repent. You mean that's sin? Yeah, it's called a lie. Oh, I never thought of it that way. Because you need to get closer. You need to get closer to me where you begin to think that way, he says. You need to be more sensitive to those things that the enemy has access to you. How many times you say somebody, I'll call you right back, and didn't call them back? Then you lied. Well, I didn't mean it. And there's no such thing as a white little lie. It's big. No matter whether it's murder or a lie, it's always big in the eyes of God. Hello? So we repent. But the closer you are to the Lord, the more, hey. I have to repent every time I come off the court. Lord, I know I was in the flesh. Hallelujah. I don't know how you put up with me. 1 Peter chapter 5. Hallelujah. Oh, God is good. He came to hear the truth, right? Amen. Covenant. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Let me repeat that. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Let me say that one more time. Likewise, you younger people, Alyssa, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, humbleness, not pride. For God resists the proud. You know what the proud can't do? Repent. They can't say, I'm sorry for being an idiot. I'm sorry. Forgive me. That's humbleness. I'm sorry. That's all it takes. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you. He'll lift you up. He'll make a way. Humble yourself. Quit trying to fight for your life and surrender it. That's what pride does. It causes you to fight for it. Quit pleasing everybody else but him. Start pleasing him. God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time, casting your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Hello? Quit trying to fix your life and surrender it. Be sober. Be vigilant. In other words, be consistent. Be alert. Because your adversary, the word adversary is the same name, is the same meaning as Satan. Satan means adversary. There's not just one Satan. Hello? Does everybody got this? The word Satan, the word devil, the mean dragon means adversary. We have multiple adversaries. Lucifer was one. Satan is multiple. It's not just one individual. It's representation of a universal adversary. Has everybody got it? Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a what? Roaring lion, seeking whom he may what? Devour means to what? Eat. Has everybody got that? Devour means to what? Eat or sacrifice. So he's looking out to eat you or sacrifice you. He wants to get somebody to drink your blood or sacrifice you. That's what he wants. See, because Satan's kingdom in this realm wants to take individuals to sacrifice so they can maintain their physical positions. Is everybody okay? Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. We're all going through it. Amen? Revelation 12, and we'll close here. The life in the flesh. Verse 7. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought. What's the dragon represent? Adversary. Has everybody got it? But they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven anymore. So the dragon was cast out, the serpent of old. The serpent is a representation of an adversary. Called the devil, but we're going to talk about all this later. And Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and the strength of the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ has come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the what? The blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Now look at this. But woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea. For the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time. That's why we're seeing things escalate. Because he knows he has a short time to do whatever he can to have victory. He actually believes he can have victory. But we know the end. Amen? Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. Let this seed be imparted to your people. And all those who are listening and watching today, I want to thank you. And I'm going to encourage you to continue to take this word and do your own research of what's going on. We are going to display a video next Saturday night. We have started an area where it's called Reality Series. And I want to invite everyone to come next Saturday night. It will be at 7:30. It's an hour video. And we're going to give them away because this is what's really happening. I don't know if we're going to put it on air or not, but I encourage you, you must come to see this DVD that's been established, because you're going to want as many as you can to get it to as many people as you can. Amen? Now, Lord, bless you and keep you filled with the Spirit, protect the seed that's been imparted, and guide you in your path that you may discern what is of God and what's not of God. May the Lord heal your bodies. Heal your bodies. From the top of your head to the tip of your toes. May the Lord cleanse your blood by the blood of Jesus. Heal you by the stripes of Jesus. And fill you with his Spirit. That you may be empowered to say yes to him and no to temptation. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah.